Shalom Chabrim, I'm Stephen Benoon. You're watching Israeli News Live here on World Harvest Television Network, as well as airing on YouTube, the very same broadcast. Very provocative message today, return of the Nephilim. And this is something that, well, quite frankly, we've kind of gone into this a little bit here on Israeli News Live before, and most people think, well, this is just conspiracy theories. Until people like L.A. Marzulli and Steve Quayle have actually brought the information out. L.A. Marzulli interviewing several soldiers in Afghanistan that actually claimed that they encountered a giant and had to fight against him and actually killed him. So is this really going to happen? Is there some biblical evidence that shows that the Nephilim actually returned? And how did they get here? We know they got here clearly from biblical accounts such as Enoch. We see in the book of Genesis in our own canon. We can see the Nephilim got here through the fallen angels having promiscuity with women on the earth, and they were born in the earth. And of course, then the flood comes and wipes them all out. Well, we're going to talk about that today, but we're going to go deeper than just that. If you're watching on World Harvest Television Network, this is going to be a couple of parts on this series, if not three parts, because we're going to go into not only that, but also what's going to happen even beyond that. Let's get right into this message today. And just to share with you, such as here, Frontiers of Anthropology, showing some of the remains of the giants that have been discovered in the earth. And not only have they discovered that, but we see also in China, Science Alert, bringing out the article here, the ancient remains of 5,000-year-old giants discovered in China. They've been discovered in Greece. They've been in North America, Saudi Arabia, all over the world. These skeletal remains of human beings that are upwards to 10 foot tall have been discovered. And then people wonder, you know, when we read the biblical account, especially in Joshua and back before the flood, that there were giants in the earth, and that, yes, this is actually true. It's a very serious situation. It's even more serious that they're returning. Now, often we think of the biblical account of Matthew 24 when we're looking at what's happening in the world today. Yeshua speaks about the things that were going to happen to his apostles. He speaks about the wars and rumors of wars. He speaks about the nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. He speaks about the earthquakes and pestilence and diverse places. But then he says something very odd. He says these are only the beginning of sorrows. And just paraphrasing for now, we will return to that in a moment. But as you read down in Matthew 24, that gives the entire scenario of what happens in the days that we're living in just before the coming of the Son of Man, the return of Yeshua, the Messiah, he goes into another very interesting account. And he speaks in verse 37 and 38, these words right here. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now, we know this because we can see this also in the book of Genesis, a little bit. But we really don't know what they were eating and drinking, unless we use the book of Enoch. Now, the book of Enoch is part of the Ethiopic scriptures, part of their own Christian literature there, but it's not been in our own canon. It's not been part of the Bible that we have today, King James or any other of the versions that we have in modern English. But oddly enough, we know that the scriptures or these particular fragments were found in Qumran as well. And not just fragments. There were two books that were separate fragments found in the book of Enoch. But there was also a claim that there was a completed fragment, not just a fragment, but the entire scroll of the book of Enoch, that the Bedouins sold to a Kuwaiti buyer. One of the scholars did travel to Kuwait, was able to microfilm this book, and able to authenticate that, yes, indeed, it was very similar to that of the Ethiopic version. And what I look at is I research these books that are not considered canon, whether it be the Nag Hammadi text, the Qumran scrolls, etc. I realize that we have a plumb line. We have the Bible that we have today, but these books often can help fill in those missing pieces or put the puzzle that we're missing back in. Connect the dots, as it were. just like in the case of the story of, we find in our own canon that Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver. One part of the Bible, it says he was sold to the Ishmaelites, and another part we read that it's he sold to the Midianites. And you have to ask the question, is it a contradiction? Or is there something we're missing? Well, with our own canon, we would never really know. But if you read the book of Jasher, which actually was part of the 1611 King James Bible, we find out it's actually both. Because yes, they did sell him to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites got afraid and sold him to the Midianites for the exact same price. They take him down into Egypt and sell him to Potiphar. So it was a little key piece of the puzzle that was missing that helps us to understand what's going on. And in the case here, Yeshua says here that they were eating and drinking, and they were marrying and given in marriage. If you look at this in the Greek language, that eating right there happens to be like gnawing or crunching down, almost as if you're eating flesh and bones. And of course, the given in marriage is prearranged marriage or forced marriage. And that caught my attention. So I decided to take a look in the book of Enoch to get a better picture of what's going on. And we find in chapter 7, and of course, when Enoch describes how big the giants were, that's when you kind of begin to scratch your head and think, really, that's all? But, you know, the point is we have to see what were they eating and drinking, and who were they marrying? And as we see here, and they took wives for themselves, and everyone chose for himself one each. They began to go into them and were promiscuous with them, and they taught them charms and spells. Keep that in mind. We'll come back to that. And they showed them the cutting of roots and trees, and they became pregnant and bore large giants. And their height was 3,000 cubits. These devoured all the toil of men until men were unable to sustain them. And the giants turned against them in order to devour men. And they began to sin against the birds, against the animals, and against the reptiles, and against the fish. And they devoured one another's flesh and drank the blood from it. Well, we know that they went into the women. They had children by them. We know that giants are born in the earth, as we have seen in archaeology today, that there are bones for this. And we know that they were eating human flesh and drinking human blood. But the odd thing is, Yeshua said that's going to repeat. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. So the marrying and giving in marriage, although we can see that today, you know, believers of Yeshua, they get married. Other faiths get married willingly. We can look in the Middle East and see that there are arranged marriages or forced marriages. Even in far Eastern countries, they do the same. We can even see that, yes, we eat and drink, and many times there is gluttony and things of that nature there. But where is the eating of the human flesh? Yes, even in the Middle East, in the Syrian war, and both different warring factions there, ISIS members eating their own victims that they've murdered. They've drank the blood. Yes, this is true too. But as L.A. Marzulli pointed out, there were giants in the land there, and in Afghanistan, soldiers had to battle it. And it's not the only case of giants. There's many out there that claim that, yes, these giants are on the earth. There's even those that claim that underneath the earth, these demons, they call it aliens. What are aliens, really? Aliens are just demons. They are devils inhabiting human form. And you're going to find out that the way they got here more than 4,000, 5,000 years ago before the flood is the same way they got here in the times of Joshua and Moses and even in today. And I'm going to show you how. And that's what's going to really blow you away. At least it did me. Let's move forward right here, as we can see here in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verses 32 to 33. We'll focus on this. This is speaking about the spies that Moses sends into the promised land. Remember, when Moses takes the children of Israel out of Egypt, all the wonders that happened there. And of course, don't forget, the priests as well were able to do the same types of miracle that Moses was doing. But they couldn't part the Red Sea. They couldn't cross on dry ground. There was many things that they could not do. But they had some incredible magic tricks, you might say, up their own sleeves. And this wasn't just a little, like you see today on TV, you know, the guy can do the little cards or the bird come out, things that are explainable. We're talking about they could do supernatural things. Their sticks could turn into serpents, etc. all these things that were happening with them, right? But when they go to the promised land, there is a major obstacle. Yes, it is flowing with milk and honey and unbelievable fruits that are there happening that only two men could carry back. Just one cluster of grapes that was so heavy, took two strong men to carry it back. A land that was rich in gold itself. Not so much that you would unmine it and sell it like little rocks, but the monatomic elements in the soil that made the fruit grow so well. And of course, there were things there besides that, and that were the giants. Let's read and see. As you can see depicted in the photo here on the screen and behind me here, this is from Egypt, but I have often wondered that the Egyptian pyramids were built prior to the flood. There is some documentation to support that as far as the Sphinx being built prior to the flood. And that this is what they're depicting, the women that gave birth unto the children that become giants. Yeah, maybe it is a monument regarding this, right? Well, it says here, as we get down to the story, Joshua goes into the land, him and Caleb with the other spies. They come back, and many of them were scared to death, they say, and they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. Cannibalism. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. Now, there's Anak's sons, they come of the giants. They're children of them, children of the Nephilim. Friends, it's getting very serious. And so they had to deal with that. Joshua came in. They did defeat them. Now, by the way, just kind of a little backtrack here. This is why God was never pleased with Esau. Esau married in amongst the Canaanites. And the Canaanites were part of the descendants of the giants. All those, Esau's children were living in that land at that time. Remember, he married in amongst them. Now, God told Moses, don't mess with Esau. I've given him this land down there that was just to the southeast of Israel, closer to the northwest part of Saudi Arabia and southern part of Jordan, southwest Jordan today. That land was given to Esau. But the thing was, he married in amongst this race that was mixed with the blood of the giants, the blood of the Nephilim, the Canaanites, Hittites, Jebusites, Perizzites. And of course, as we used to think about, why would God command to kill every man, woman, and child in the region? It just seems like, how could God be so cruel? Well, the thing was, is God was dealing with a race of people that were actually demonic in nature. They were children, again, of the same group of people that were here on the earth before the flood. And the question remains is, how did they get here in the first place? See, how did they do it? Well, there's actually a scripture for that. But before we go there, let me share something else with you in the book of Enoch. Chapter 8, verse 2 through 4. And there was great impiety and much fornication, and they went astray, and all their ways became corrupt. Now it's important we're doing this so you understand what we're going to look at in a moment. Amzerak taught all those who cast spells and cut roots. Armaras, the release of spells, and Barkael, astrologers, and Kakobael, portents, and Tamiel taught astrology, and Esradel taught the path of the moon. And at the destruction of men, they cried out, and their voices reached unto heaven. See? So these fallen angels, they became imprisoned, though, later. They were put into prison after what they did before the flood. But we're looking back now, and I'm trying to set a stage for you of how they got here after the flood. All right, so first I had to bring you to some information about what they were doing from the book of Enoch, because we got to fit the pieces of the puzzle together. How did they get there after the flood, and how are they getting there today? All right, so as we move on here, I want you to see God imprisoned those fallen angels, but not to forget some of the things they were doing. It's very important, because there is a biblical link that's going to connect how they're doing it today and how they did it after the flood. All right, in chapter 18 of the book of Enoch, and I did a video about this one not too long ago, maybe earlier the first part of this year, I forget the date on this. And it says, and I saw the winds of the earth which support the clouds, and I saw the paths of the angels, in other words, where they were taken to. I saw at the end of the earth the firmament of heaven above, and I went towards the south. Sounds like the South Pole to me. And it was burning day and night. Antarctica during the summer does burn day and night. Where there were seven mountains of precious stones, three towards the east and three towards the south. Now, it just so happens, when I was first reading this in Enoch several months back, I began to look at this and I questioned that it's almost as if Enoch is telling us the geographical location on this earth where these angels have been imprisoned. And so I began to do a little bit of research. And oddly enough, there is a thing called Seven Summits, a mountaintop called Seven Summits, and of course a website, sevensummits.com, where they actually speak about a trip that they took there. And oddly enough, if you take into consideration that the earth before the flood was shifted a little bit differently, then these mountain, this center peak, the tallest mountain that is there, would actually, and the two chains of three mountains each, would actually be exactly the way Enoch described it. Three of them to the east, three of them to the south. And so I began to look at this more as a conjecture, not as an absolute fact. But then I began to look at what else was worded in Enoch about where they went and what was being said. Let's look at this, Enoch chapter 18, continuing on with verses 11 through 14. And I saw a deep chasm of the earth with pillars of heavenly fire. And I saw among them fiery pillars of heaven which were falling, and as regards both height and depth, they were immeasurable. And beyond this chasm I saw a place, and it had neither the sky above it nor the foundation of the earth below it. There was no water on it. No birds, but it was a desert place. And a terrible thing I saw there, seven stars like great burning mountains. And like a spirit questioning me, the angel said, this is the place of the end of heaven and earth. This is the prison for the stars of heaven and the host of heaven. All right. Now, interesting. I want to share something with you. Keep in mind, as he says right here, there was no water on it, there were no birds, it was a desert place. Don't forget the part about the fiery pillars. We're going to come back to that in just a little bit. And I saw a deep chasm of the earth. Well, oddly enough, in science, on Science Alert, they came up with a new article not too long ago. This was back in 2016, December the 7th. A massive chasm in Antarctica's ice is threatening to cut off crucial research station. The Antarctic Research Station that originally discovered the ozone hole in Earth's atmosphere during the 1980s is now facing a different kind of environmental crisis that's much closer to home. And of course, they go into the chasm that is underneath there. But isn't it interesting that this is where the ozone hole is? Remember, they couldn't measure up, nor they couldn't measure down. Huge chasm that's up underneath here, right? And of course, the pillars of heavenly fire. Very interesting the way this is described. But don't forget, they also called it the coldest, it was called a desert place in the book of Enoch. Well, oddly enough, if you look on this particular site here, we'll zoom this in for you. It says on the sevensummits.com, the snowfall in Antarctica is so minimal that the continent has been called the world's coldest desert. The interior receives less than 3 centimeters or 1 inch of precipitation a year, making it the driest continent on Earth. And of course, when you go in this far, there are no birds. There's no penguins, no seagulls, no nothing going to go that far in because it's so cold. And so I begin to think, this must be where those angels were imprisoned. But it gets even more interesting than that. Look on down to verse 18 and 19 in the book of Enoch. And he was angry with them and bound them until the time of the consummation of their sin in the year of mystery. No man knows the day nor the hour. And Uriel said to me, the spirits of the angels who were promiscuous with women will stand here, and they, assuming many forms, made men unclean and will lead men astray, so that they sacrifice to demons as gods, and they will stand there until the great judgment day on which they will be judged, so that an end will be made of them. And their wives, having led astray the angels of heaven, will become peaceful. Now, I got to share with you a couple of things real quick on this issue here. All right, the year of mystery. That's because the Bible says, as we read it, no man knoweth the day nor the hour of his return. That's the year of mystery, right? Also, the angels were promiscuous with the women. We know this, all right? They assuming many forms. One of the Apocrypha writings that I was doing some research in one time said that the daughters of that were born of Adam and Eve's descendants there that they had saw that were beautiful and came and slept with them and had babies by them, did not want anything to do with them at the first. But it says in this one apocryphal writing, and I don't recall it, I would tell you if I knew, but I just can't recall which book this was, said that they transformed their appearance to look like their husbands. They assumed many forms. And they slept with them, tricked them, and had children by them. No wonder why the women become peaceful. They won't have to deal with it no more. Right? But then what's really important, it says here, and made men unclean and will lead men astray. So they're still active in the situation that is happening on the earth today. The geopolitical atmosphere that is happening in the world today, they are still involved in it because they will lead men astray and they will sacrifice to demons as gods. And what are they planning on doing? Building a third temple. No wonder why we see so much interest in Antarctica. As we see here, Patriarch Kirill, he goes to the Antarctica, and he's not to the deep part where there's no birds at. He's on the outer edge when they took this photo here. But no doubt, maybe he got to go a little bit deeper to where they are. This was after his meeting with Pope Francis there in Havana, Cuba, where they're trying to unite both the Russian Orthodox and the Roman Catholic Church after they'd split up over 1,000 years ago, trying to get ready to fake a millennial reign. And of course, they're going to do a lot more than just that, right? And this is also, by the way, when he went there, the Ark of Gabriel, Antarctica, Russia, and the Apocalypse was the title of this article that was being submitted here by Paul Seaburn back on February 25th, 2016 on Mystery Universe. Now, this may seem like nothing but a bunch of conspiracy theories when it comes to this right here, but when this story first broke that there was an ancient ark discovered at Mecca that we read about in the news, that all there was a stampede that killed all the people here, but in quote-unquote, in the conspiracy reports out there, there was this Ark of Gabriel and it emitted a plasma explosion that killed all these people. That's how they died at Mecca. And a lot of people just assume, well, this was all false, it's all fake and everything that was going on. But as we began to do research in the Russian media, we found out there was a lot of evidence that actually supported this, not just to be a theory. The Russians did, after this incident in Mecca, did send their research ship that was going to Antarctica down to pick up some kind of object from Saudi Arabia. They did continue on down. There was an armada of military ships that accompanied their science research ship to Antarctica. So you have to wonder, is there not something really to this? Now, this article here says a strange series of seemingly linked news stories popped up recently about something called the Ark of Gabriel. It's referred to as Gabriel's instructions to Muhammad, and it's mentioned in conjunction with the mass deaths in Saudi Arabia, Russian military operations secret base in Antarctica, and most recently, the leader of the Russian Orthodox Church. What is the Ark of Gabriel, and why is it suddenly in the news? So there was, and as I stated, in Russian language media, you could get a little bit better idea of what was going on here, but it still was a big hush-hush even amongst the Russians. But then during the time of the presidential elections, when Donald Trump is and Hillary Clinton are in their final runoff, the day of the vote itself, John Kerry decides to go to Antarctica. Why? And then why, when he leaves Antarctica and goes to New Zealand, is there this massive earthquake? Well, again, conspiracy theories were saying that what actually happened was that there was he went down to the fallen, to actually, as they call it, the aliens that are Antarctica, and was pleading for being able to get Hillary Clinton in and not Donald Trump. And they claimed that they rejected him. It's not aliens, friends. What they call aliens are demons. And remember, there were only 200 that were actually fallen, and they were put at Antarctica. Let's take a look. Now you're going to find out how they got here. How did they get here? How are they getting here today? And how did they get here after the flood? It's very interesting. Leviticus 18, verse 20. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Now, we'll just stop right there. Did you notice, though, what he's saying? Did you notice what we're having right here? You're not to lay with your neighbor's wife. You're not to allow your seed to pass through the fire to Molech. Do you know in all the names of those angels? We don't know for sure all the names, but it's interesting that if you read the book of Enoch, it names a group of them, maybe 10 or 20 of the names you actually get there. But there were 200 of them. And there's a lot of different ancient writings that talk about them and give their names. And one particular set of those writings, and I don't know, I just saw the compilation of names there, it says that there was one of those angels called Moroch, like Moloch, could be the same, who appears, oddly enough, as a bull. Remember what Leviticus said in verse 21, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. And Molech, as you can see by the statue, was always a bull. Now, the sister that shared this scripture with me said to me, she said, Stephen, you understand Hebrew. I said, yes. Go back and look at it. Everybody thinks these children are being put there as burnt offerings. And no doubt, maybe they were doing that as well. But she says, it's not what it says, is it? And I went and I read it. And it's actually just like they translated in English, just like in Deuteronomy. They're passing through the fire. What fire are they passing through? I believe they're passing through that fire that we saw in the book of Enoch when the angels that were put there in Antarctica, if this is actually the place, and we saw the pillars of fire. But they're still active in the affairs of man. And what were they doing? Passing through that fire barrier right there. Deuteronomy 18:9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or that useth divination, observer of times, or enchanter, or a witch. And this was all the things they were doing, friends. This was all those things. And it's repeating again today. Let's continue on. Those that are watching on World Harvest Television, you'll have to catch the next part next week there. They were a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits. Let me just back up. Let's just back up. All right? Again, Leviticus 18:20, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Remember in the prophecy there in the book of Enoch, when they were imprisoned, they're still involved in the affairs of man, right? Let me see if I can just jump back to it. Here it is. The deep chasm, the pillars of heavenly fire, and I saw among them fiery pillars of heaven, which were falling in regards both the height and depth. They were immeasurable. You go down there, there was no water, no birds or anything like that, right? See? That's what it says there. But as we went on down, we find out they assumed many forms and made men unclean and will lead men astray, that they will sacrifice to demons instead, as if it were gods. Okay? This is what we saw. And so we come to Leviticus, we find out that they're allowing their seed to pass through the fire. I believe that's the fire they're passing through. If these fallen angels can still be actively involved and cause men to offer sacrifices unto gods, and we already know this, sacrificing children and all kinds of demonic things that are going on in this earth are still happening to this day. Not just bulls and goats and rams and things like that. They still sacrifice to these devils. And they're passing through that fire and bringing back children. Let me tell you something. The woman that shared this with me, I call her a sister, not just a woman, but the sister that shared this with me, knows personally, and I know that this is out there already, I forget her name, but there was a sister, there's another lady out there that was a midwife that actually has delivered the children, or one of the children, that was born in this manner, that passed through the fire, in order to get this woman pregnant and to make her give birth to one of these Nephilim. And she tells me that this is going on a larger scale than you have any idea of. And these are the people that are running the governments of this world. All right, so again, let's look at Deuteronomy. As again, I said to you, don't forget about an Enoch. What did Enoch say? They got in, they were, and even in Genesis, they taught them charms, cutting of roots, things like that, these fallen angels. They were teaching all types of spiritual type things, but not godly type. And there shall, okay, and when thou art come into the land with which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination of the Lord, and because of these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive them out of the land before thee. So they were doing it, just like before the flood. And they, it tells you they're passing through the fire to do what? To bring back those children. That's how they got the giants in the land. Remember? Now, I got to share something with you. Let's move on. Remember, Yeshua set the stage for us in Matthew of all the things that are going to happen here just before he comes, and he included that as being one of them. Why does he include that? Because they're involved in the affairs of man. And it's the reason why we see this scripture here in Matthew 24, verses 6 to 12. Let's look at it. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. The beginning? You mean to tell me global war is only the beginning of what's going to get worse, and the earthquakes in divers places and the pestilence, that's only the beginning of sorrows? What could get worse, friends? The Nephilim returning in this earth today, they're going to come out, they're going, and Yeshua says they were eating and drinking human flesh, of course, drinking human blood, and that they're going to do forced marriages. He said that's going to repeat. It's going to happen again. So it's happening in this day right now, just like the wars and rumors of wars. Nation against nation, friends, is ethnos, ethnic wars. Just like happened in Ukraine, just what's happening in Syria, just what's happening in Iraq. All this is ethnic wars. Sunnis against Shiites, ISIS against everybody in the region. Of course, they're against Israel. Israel is against them. White supremacy groups such as the neo-Nazis that are fascists that are fighting in Ukraine against the Russian Orthodox that are in the eastern part of the country. And it's not over yet. Kingdom against kingdom. You have the United Kingdom helping run the NATO forces, part of the U.S. being part of that under the umbrella of the United Kingdom. The Pope's wars as well, fighting against what? The kingdoms of the Middle East, the Saudis and all the rest. Yeah, they say Saudis are your... Yeah, oh, come on, give me a break. Right? So if it's the beginning of sorrows, what is next? Transhumanism, of course. As we can see here, nanotechnology, American Technion Society, advancing innovation for Israel and the world. Unfortunately, my own country is behind the leading edge of this nonsense. Nanobots, nanotechnology. Let's look at some of what it says in this article. We'll read all of it. American Technion Society, Israel leads the way in nanotechnology. That was my statement of the article. Professor Esther Siegel and a team of Israeli and American researchers find that the silicon nanomaterials used for the localized delivery of the chemotherapy drugs behave differently in cancerous tumors than they do in healthy tissues. The finding could help scientists better design such materials to facilitate the controlled and targeted release of the chemotherapy drugs to tumors. Dropping down to the last one, Amit Miller, another Israeli name, a team of researchers from Technion and Boston University have discovered a simple way to control the passage of DNA molecules through nanopore sensors. The breakthrough could lead to low-cost, ultra-fast DNA sequencing that would revolutionize healthcare and biomedical research. Now, I want to back up on this screen here for you. They're showing this little nanobot right here, but they've actually made them 1/100,000th of an inch. That's not 1/100,000th of an inch of a hair. That's just showing you one you can see with your eye. These nanobots are so tiny, there is no way you could see them in your body whatsoever, right? So let's take a look and see what Satan's plan was from the beginning. His demons fell, and they're kind of in prison, but they're still involved in what's going on this earth, and they're still running the world leaders, and they trade off for the technology that they know, just like they did back before the flood. And believe me, there was some pretty powerful technology before the flood. Hitler was very interested in what was going on down in Egypt. And I guess he found out that, yes, where they're at, down in Antarctica. Why do you think Hitler's team went to Antarctica? You think they went there for a vacation? No, they went there to go beyond the fire. Isaiah 14. Verses 13 to 16, this is what Satan was saying himself. And thou saidest in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. Above the stars of God will I exalt my throne. And I will sit upon the mount of meeting in the uttermost part of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to the nether world, to the uttermost part of the pit. They that saw thee do narrowly look upon thee. They gaze earnestly at thee. In this the man that made the earth to tremble, they gaze earnestly at thee. And this is what they say. Is this the man that made the earth to tremble that did shake kingdoms? Did you notice he's coming down to the nether world? That's this earth. We're not in paradise, friends. And by the way, when it says here, as I put in the red here, Al Bametecha Ab, all right, above the heights of the clouds. Ab is not clouds. That word is a Hebrew word that means to be enveloped in darkness. The human body, friends. He's going to sit, exalt my throne, and I will sit upon the mount of meeting in the uttermost part of the north. Your brain. Yeah, you're going to be able to see him, all right, because God's going to bring him down. The way that this is going to happen, there's going to be something that's going to happen, but I don't think it's going to be for those that are being controlled by the nanobots. It's going to be for the believers that wake up to who they are. They're going to be able to see him because we're just kind of misfiring right now. We're like a 12-cylinder car. Yeah, they do make 12-cylinder cars, and only two of our cylinders are working, and the other eight are misfiring. Why? Because that devil there has been feeding on our brains to try to stop us. But now they're going to try to do it with nanobot technology. And of course, yes, he wants to sit in the temple of God and be worshipped as if he were God. Is that not right? The mount of the congregation. And yes, they are going to build a third temple, as Jewish Week TimesOfIsrael.com post a picture here of the third temple next to the Dome of the Rock. And yes, no doubt the Antichrist will come and sit in there as a prefigure of Satan here trying to rule this world. But friends, that's not the temple that the devil is planning on sitting in. You are that temple that he's planning on getting his little hands on. And this nanobot technology that they have developed, they have been injecting into your body through vaccines, and according to a possibility, it may also be in the chemtrails in the air, where it's a 100% infection rate, according to Harold Kautz, the German scientist that we've interviewed before. But let's look at the vaccines. Dr. Rima Lebo, this is just from the Event Chronicle. Dr. Rima, Big Pharma and Department of Defense are putting nanobots in vaccines right now. She was on the Richie Allen Show. We were listening to this. And she's an incredible doctor here. She's a medical doctor. She has a lot of other types of trainings. Her husband, who's passed away, also they were doing a lot of research into natural means. But she discovered that Big Pharma, all of Big Pharma, is in cooperation with all defense industries. And they are putting nanobots, not going to, but putting them in vaccines. Now, I don't know which all vaccines it is. Is it also in the flu vaccine? I have no idea. She didn't specify which all the vaccines that they're putting it in, but it's definitely being put in your children. And they don't label it. Oh, they do use Roundup in the vaccine too, by the way. And that's another problem altogether. Roundup, the thing that works in Roundup, and it's glyphosate. Glyphosate is inside of Roundup. Same thing that, you know, the pesticide company uses there. Well, they put that in the vaccine. And you know what they discovered with glyphosate? It will bond really well with aluminum. I mean, they put that in the vaccines, and they inject it into your children or into adults or whatever the case may be. That is able to break past the blood-brain barrier. And that aluminum 100% goes into your body. Now, the doctors are going to tell you, you don't have to fear aluminum. We take in aluminum every day. You cook with aluminum pans. You drink Cokes with aluminum cans, beer, whatever you might drink out there with aluminum. You're ingesting aluminum on a daily basis. Yes, 99% of that aluminum goes through your body and right back out again. It doesn't absorb. But when they inject it in there with these vaccines and nanobots along with it being bound together with glyphosate, it goes right past the blood barrier, right to your brain. Now, I got good news for you, though. That's not going to do them a whole lot of good other than causing autism or Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. Part of that depopulation agenda, and I've even heard that as far as autism, they don't mind having autistic boys because the whole idea is they can use them as a workforce that won't have unions and things to buffet against the government. Well, let's take a look at Dr. Sherry Timpany, who's also appeared here on Israeli News Live before. She's an author, she's a doctor, and she's a D-O-A-B-N-M-M and A-B-I-H-M, all kinds of things. She wrote an article on Vaxxer not too long ago. I want to share some of her insights here so you know exactly how dangerous these things are. Transhumanism is a futuristic concept where man and technology blend, resulting in soulless, intelligent machines. It is a movement that favors the evolution of a new species of human through the use of integrative circuitry, referred to as human betterment for the post-human era. Transhumanists assume that humanity will only be enhanced by machines, no damage, no degradation, no possibility for coercion or domination in a post-human world. Humanity as we know it will be obsolete. In 2012, artificial intelligence pioneer Ray Kurzweil became director of engineering chief futurist at Google's, hired to work on the project to teach machines to learn. Kurzweil predicts that by 2030, technology advances will allow tiny nanobots to be injected into the bloodstream, pass through the blood-brain barrier, and integrate into the brain. The human brains can then be connected to the cloud, achieving a level of brilliance never thought possible. So essentially, biological beings will become non-biological entities. In his book, The Singularity Is Near, When Humans Transcend Biology, Kurzweil states, in the future, there will be no distinction between human and machine, or between physical and virtual reality. Dr. Sherry Timpany. Friends, that's pretty serious. But the thing is, Sherry writes that this being a future technology, but Dr. Rima, says it's already there. The difference is they have to put a microchip in you. Remember how the Bible says in Revelation, if you take the mark, you can't buy or sell, saving you take this mark. And of course, all those that take the mark, you're stuck. There's no hope. The nanobites is not what will condemn you. Remember how the Bible says they will seek death and cannot find it? I know that we can look at that as, well, you know, it's because of all these pestilences are on the earth. That's true too, but I can guarantee you one thing, that pestilence is inside of you. It's already in you, the nanobots. And if you take that chip, they can prolong your life and promise you like a millennial reign, because nanobiotechnology can also replicate cells. They can actually, if you've got heart disease or liver failing, they can re-replicate those cells, rebuild that liver, and they're saying now that you would be able to live 1,000 years. And I've always told you, they're trying to fake a millennial reign. Is that not right? Sure they are. They're trying to fake a millennial reign. They got to have proof that you can live longer, and this is the way they'll do it. But as long as you don't take that chip, those nanobots won't do them a whole lot of good. Might cause autism, might cause dementia, even make your life be cut short. And of course, as Dr. Sherry Timpany brings out, Mr. President Obama, back in 2013, State of the Union Address, he announced his plan to invest brain mapping technologies in April of that year, and a $100 million initiative was launched called BRAIN, which stands for Brain Research Through Advanced Innovative Neurotechnology. Multiple public-private partners were funded, including Allen Institute of Brain and Science, Howard Hughes Medical Institute, Salk Institute for Biological Studies, and Kavli Foundation and Institutes. Our tax dollars also fund this project. The government allocations include. And we won't go into which ones they include. But the problem is, friends, is this is getting very serious. Times haven't changed much. Similar things happened in Egypt many years ago of what they're doing today. Because what are these nanobots doing? They will feed upon your brain. They will keep you dumbed down. They will keep your DNA from ever waking up. Yes, you do have 12 strands of DNA in your body. Scientists are beginning to recognize this as well. But let's look what was happening years ago in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2, verses 13 through 18. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he spoiled? The young lions roared upon him and yelled, and they made his land waste. His cities are burned without inhabitant. Also the children of Noph and Tephanes have broken the crown of thy head. Hast thou not procured this unto thyself, and that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God when he led thee by the way? And now what hast thou to do in the way of Egypt, to drink the waters of Sihor? Or what hast thou to do in the way of Assyria, to drink the waters of the river? Noph and Tephanes were princes down in Egypt, back in a place called Zoan. They were not the pharaohs, but they were the princes there. And according to ancient documents from the Arabic people, they are believed, Noph is believed to be those princes of the Nephilim, that they were actually children of the Nephilim. And they had did what? They broke the crown of their head. In Hebrew, it says they eat the crown of their head. What did they do? Jeremiah is showing you that the temple of God, which you are the temple of God, we read it all through the New Testament. Paul says that we are the temple of the living God. And he says, God says in the word of God, I don't have it in front of me, he says, but he will destroy those who destroy the temple. Don't let them do this to your temple. It's the place for the Holy Spirit to dwell within you. And it says in Hebrew, in that very verse, Jeremiah 2:16, the children of Noph and Tephanes have eaten the crown of your head. They're eating your brain. When he says you're now broken cisterns that can hold no water, he was likening us to the, in other words, your body had been broken down to where you couldn't hold the waters of life anymore because they broke it down. Why? They got in there and they altered the DNA of the people. That's what they did. You don't believe that? Let me show you what it says in Lamentations about the crown of the head there. Let's drop down to, let's go verse 11. They ravished the women in Zion. Think about that. Again, the Nephilim, right? And the maidens in the cities of Judah and princes are hanged up by their hand, and the faces of the elders were not honored. They took the young men to grind, and the children fell into the wood. The elders have ceased from the gate, the young men from their music. The joy of our heart is ceased. Our dance is turned into mourning. The crown is fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned, for this our heart is faint. For these things our eyes are dim. What did Yeshua say about that? Let's move on. Don't forget, Yeshua talks about if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. Adam and Eve were light beings before they sinned. And when they sinned, they lost that clothing of the Spirit of God. And they were covered in skins. That wasn't skins of a goat. That was human skin. Right? Matthew 24, 9. Then shall they deliver you up to afflict you. This is after when he says this is the beginning of sorrows. He tells you what happens next. Now, after we've just talked about all this changing of our DNA, changing of what they're doing, and they're trying to put this nanobot technology in you. And well, the nanobots are already there, but they're going to try to hook you up to that little chip that'll activate those nanobots. And you'll just become like a machine, kind of like it was in the days when Jeremiah says that Nup and Tapanes were eating the crown of your head. And what is this? Going past the blood-brain barrier, as Dr. Sherry Timpany says, and what's it doing? Eating the crown of your head, your brain. You'll become emotionless. Robots. Right? Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. In other words, if you don't want to take the chip, just kill you. The affliction is the chip itself. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Telling you, it's okay. It's just part of the program. Don't forget, the Vatican wants a new world order with a one world government. As soon as they get done with these world wars, they can force the rest of humanity to fall into line with it. So many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because, watch what happens after they do the deception. And because of iniquity shall abound. In other words, you're not doing the right thing. You're just sinning. The love of many shall wax cold. Once that chip comes in, you just become part machine. You've allowed Satan to enter into the temple. And he'll get exactly what he wants, worship, because now he's on the throne. He's in your brain. He's exalted himself up to the north. Well, he'll get brought down to earth because that's how the other people are going to see him. Those that don't take that mark are going to see him, and I'll tell you how. Because remember, Isaiah 59, what does it say in verse 19? So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. See, when he comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Right? He does. Sure he does. Let's look at that standard. Let's look at a scripture. I shared this with you before, but let's look how powerful this scripture is. Micah chapter 7, verse 14 and 16 through 16. Tend thy people with thy staff. King James reads, feed thy people with the rod, the flock of thine heritage. Okay, keep that in mind. The flock of thy heritage that dwells solitarily as in the forest in the midst of a fruitful field. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old. As in the days of thy coming forth out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things, wonders, nephilot is what it is. The nation shall see and put to shame for all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. Friends, what is this? What is Micah saying here? All right, let's look at it on the screen right here in red. Ro'eh amcha b'shabetecha. All right. Tend or pasture or feed my people or your people, Amcha, your people, with the staff, with that genealogy, what's recorded on your DNA. Feed them what is inside of you, Moses. Feed them the rod of your heritage. There you go, right there. It's genetic. It's in him. It's not maybe literal Moses that comes back. It is the spirit of Moses and Elijah that return. But Moses is carrying with him in his own genetics what was recorded there. Scientists know that. We'll go into that, right? But I'm going to show. Remember I told you, like in the case of the book of Enoch, sometimes you need the pieces of the puzzle that are missing from another type of source? Well, this book right here called The Assumption of Moses. I know why my Jewish brothers don't want it in there, because Moses prophesied to the Maccabee brothers. Now, this document is from the 6th century, so it's still pretty doggone old, but it is believed to be much older than that as far as any of the original fragments, but they've never found those originals. And he exposes that the Maccabees would overthrow the true Levites and would run them out. That's why we end up with Qumran community, and would replace them with slaves. No doubt. And this is why the Jews don't want it in there, because it exposes what happens. But he says something here that's fascinating. Let's read it. Be the mediator of his covenant. And now I declare unto you that the time of the years of my life is fulfilled, and I am passing away to sleep with my fathers, even in the presence of all the people. And receive this writing, that you may know how to preserve the books which I shall deliver unto you. And you shall set these in order, and anoint them with oil of cedar, and put them away in earthen vessels, in the place which he made from the beginning of the creation of the world, and that his name should be called upon until the day of repentance and the visitation wherewith the Lord will visit them in the consummation in the end of days. All right, an earthen vessel. When I read this, I realized that that was placed inside of Joshua. It was encoded in his DNA. The Lord began to reveal to me, and I hadn't studied these things. I had no idea about how the DNA does inside the human body. I didn't know the DNA is like a record that can record ancient voices and things of that nature. And as you're passing down, you know, because when we pass down, you know, we can look like our grandfather, great-grandfather, great-grandmother, whatever the case may be, your father, your mother, whatever. You could end up looking like a relative you had 400 years ago, for that matter. But regardless of how far back your DNA goes, every time a child is born, they pass on that DNA characteristic and encoded it in you as an ancient language. And when I read this, he tells him, and receive this writing, you may know how to preserve the books which I shall deliver to you. Put it in an earthen vessel, right? Put them away in an earthen vessel in the place which he made from the beginning of the creation of the world. In other words, in your human body. Just read it. This is why it's important to meditate upon the Lord day and night, right? Because what we say can also activate memories. Let's look at this article here. The shift in consciousness. And don't worry about it being maybe some kind of odd website. He's quoting medical research that they did. And this is why I brought this article up. It says here, the Genome Project decoded approximately 2% of our total physical DNA. The remaining 98% was determined to have no purpose, and genetics DNA that has no known functions is often called junk DNA, meaning that the components of an organism's DNA sequences do not code for protein sequences and has no known biological function. However, two separate research teams decided to investigate this so-called junk DNA. One team, I won't go into all of it, one team from Russia and one from the U.S. Russian team was led by Dr. Peter Grav, and his team consisted of biophysicists, molecular biologists, embryologists, and language experts. Their research shows that junk DNA is not redundant evolutionary residue as previously claimed. Linguistic studies have shown that the coding sequence of non-coding DNA adheres to basic rules of syntax. There is a definite structure and logic in its sequence, just as there is with a biological language. The research revealed that the condoms actually formed words and sentences in the same way that our human languages conform to grammatic rules. The language of the genes is far older than any human language and could serve as a sort of blueprint of the development of the human speech. Now, I won't read further on that. But let me tell you something that's really got me. How did they know? See, that's what I'm saying. if God told, or Moses told Joshua, preserve it in an earthen vessel, that vessel that was brought from the beginning of time, then what is it? What are we looking at? Inside of us is the Word of God, right? We also see other articles like this one from PreventDisease.com. Scientists finally present evidence on expanding DNA strands. Okay? Now, I share this with you for this purpose here. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18. Therefore shalt thou lay up these words in your heart, in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, and that they may be as the frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates. Right? You are that temple. You are the temple. Everything that he's talking about here shows that you're the temple of God, right? My son, in Proverbs 3, 1-6, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shalt thou add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon, about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, not your head, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And then we realize that what did Yeshua say? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there is your heart will be also. Watch what he said. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body should be full of darkness. The treasure is within you. And the light is the Word of God. And that will light up your life. If your eye be single, the very gland in your brain, that if we quit allowing these demons to feed upon our brain, we have the ability, friends, to wake up that junk DNA in us. And encoded on that, as they assigned to say, is a language syntax, an ancient language that is written within us. It's in our own DNA. And I can't help but think about, when they say 12 strands of DNA, I cannot think about the 12 tribes of Israel. And oddly enough, there are some scientists who say that we operate off of 2 strands of our DNA, the other 10 are junk DNA. Isn't it kind of odd that out of the tribes of Israel, 2 tribes are home, making up the house of Judah, Benjamin and Judah. We can't count the Levites. And in reality, you can't count the Levites either because the Maccabee brothers totally overthrew the Levitical priesthood. So what they call Levites there today are not true Levites. They're a false priesthood. But Benjamin and Judah are there. Right? Yes, it was Rome that put him to death. It was a slave class. It says here, though, remember the 10 junk DNA? They have to come home. The 10 tribes of Israel that are lost, scattered throughout the earth, they have to come home. So what is it when we come home? Are we really going to the land there in the Middle East? Is that really our true home? Or is it we come to recognize who we are and our DNA begins to wake up and the 12 tribes of Israel will come back together as one once again? Whether we be in the land in the Middle East or whether we recognize who we really are, that's the land. Remember, Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. And he was all through the old part of Israel and never could find it. Why? He met Melchizedek, that priest that had no beginning of days or ending of life, who had neither father nor mother, who was truly the king and the priest, and it was the king of righteousness. But he looked for the city, which were his constituents, his people. And he couldn't find them. Why? We are that people. And until we all come back together in the oneness of Christ, knowing who we really are, and we still not come home. Look at this real quick. But now, Zechariah 8:13. But now I will not, excuse me, but now, starting with verse 11. But now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all things. And it shall come to pass that as you were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and O house of Israel, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. You know, isn't it kind of interesting? I did this kind of for fun. All the different 12s, and this is just a few of them, but we're going to close with one more verse in Revelations after this. But just think about this. 12 strands of DNA. Sons of Jacob were 12. When Moses built the altar, he built the altar under the heel. He had used 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. The dedication of the altar, there were 12 charges of silver, 12 silver bowls, 12 weapons, 12 spoons of gold, not weapons. 12 rods were placed into the ark. Only Levi's budded and blossomed and bare almonds. In Elam, there were 12 fountains of water. Don't forget, Yeshua said what? Or God said to the children of Israel, you have forsaken me, the fountains of living water. Yeshua, was he not the fountain of living water when his side was pierced? Did not the water come from his side? He said, I would give you water. You don't have to come here to drink. See, the 12 fountains of water are your DNA that need to be activated, right? Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan. Yeshua had 12 disciples. 12 baskets were left over of the fragments after he fed the multitude. Revelation 21:21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls, speaking about the temple of God. There's 12 gates. And every gate, by the way, friends, is a doorway. We're just misfiring on what little bit we have. How much closer do we get to God if all of our DNA begin to work, right? And then in conclusion, think about this right here. Revelation 22:2. In the midst of the street of it, on the either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. We need a healing so that we can recognize who we are. So Israel, the house of Israel, will come home. And we will be united together. Remember the two sticks for the house of Israel and for the house of Judah? The stick of Ephraim. See? The two sticks that come together, they bind together and become one. That's when you recognize who you are. I didn't think to put that in there. I wished I would have. Anyway, thank you for watching. I know it's a lengthy broadcast. I trust it's a blessing for you. There's not many people going to tell you the truth, friends, but we're trying to do just that. And if it's a blessing to you, we need your help. I spent the entire day trying to record this, and Satan fought me all the way. And even today, he's tried to fight me. But if you'll stand with us so that we can continue to bring these type messages forth, go to our website, help us out. IsraeliNewsLive.org. You can donate there. Or if you want to send by mail, you can still send to our address in the Czech Republic. We still get the mail from there. We have family there that forwards it to us here until we get back to Prague, which will be sometime in November. I'm Stephen Benoit. Thank you, and God bless you for your help and your prayers that we do so much covet. We will be holding a meeting in Orlando, Florida, after all this hurricane stuff ends, depending on how the Orlando and all these places fare from the storm. But we'll try to update you once this all passes. I'm Stephen Benoit with Israeli News Live. Shalom.